Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production.
Now available on Apple Podcasts,
Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Is Amy Coney Barrett going to be the new Supreme Court justice? What are we supposed to make of Joe Biden's recent town hall? And also, is Princeton University racist to the core? How do we respond to the accusation that America is systemically racist? In an action-packed episode, we cover all of that. Please consider supporting the hardest working, most producing podcast team in the country at charliekirk.com/support. This is an opportunity to support our program. If we have helped you and your life and your views in any way, please consider supporting us at charliekirk.com/support. Action-packed episode and an important episode. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Amy Coney Barrett. It's looking more and more likely that President Trump is going to select Amy Coney Barrett to the Supreme Court. Now, this is not confirmed. This is still somewhat in the rumor mill, but Bloomberg.com says Trump zeroes in on Coney Barrett as likely Supreme Court pick. Look, I've got to know the president. I understand his political instincts, and I think I have a very good understanding of how he would make this decision. And I think it is likely the president will select Amy Coney Barrett. Now, the other person who is in contention is also Barbara Lagoa, Judge Barbara Lagoa from Florida, who, according to my sources and people that I talk to that I know very well in kind of the judge selection world, they think very highly of Barbara Lagoa. Both are Catholic. Both are young. They're in their 50s. Both have been confirmed before by the United States Senate. And both honestly offer something politically positive for the president if he were to select Amy Coney Barrett or Judge Lagoa. So a little more information about Amy Coney Barrett. She will be attacked, absolute guarantee, for her religious views. In fact, let's go back in time just to remember how Dianne Feinstein treated Amy Coney Barrett and her Catholic beliefs during her Senate confirmation hearing. Play tape.
When you read your speeches, the conclusion one draws is that the dogma lives loudly within you. And that's of concern when you come to big issues that large numbers of people have fought for years in this country.
That is what Dianne Feinstein and the Democrats believe and feel when it comes to Catholicism. Now, I'm not a Catholic. However, that is just an incredible assault on someone's personal belief religiously to treat it that way. Amy Coney Barrett was born in 1972. She's a jurist who serves as a circuit court judge on the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Seventh Circuit. Barrett is the first and only woman to occupy an Indiana seat on the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals. Described as an originalist or a textualist, Barrett's judicial philosophy is very similar to her former boss, Antonin Scalia. She is a pro-life judge and I think would be a phenomenal selection for the president to fill Ruth Bader Ginsburg's seat. Now, I want to be very clear. There is something that is different about the president to fill Ruth Bader Ginsburg's seat than Brett Kavanaugh and Neil Gorsuch. Each one of those just raises the temperature a little bit more than the other one. Neil Gorsuch was filling Antonin Scalia's seat. That was putting a conservative to fill a conservative. Brett Kavanaugh was to fill Justice Kennedy's seat. That was a conservative to fill a swing voter, but who did rule conservatively generally? To put Amy Coney Barrett or Judge Lagoa in this seat would go from a textualist or an activist judge to the complete opposite, to a constitutionalist judge. This would be a pure flip. This is taking one off the table for the Democrats and for leftists and putting one in the category for those of us that appreciate and love the United States Constitution. And so as we look at the list of candidates here, it's very important to remember that Senator Lisa Murkowski and Senator Susan Collins have signaled that they will not support a vote before the election. That brings the majority for the Senate Republicans down to a very narrow margin, and that means they can't lose many more votes. So thankfully, we have lost Senator Jeff Flake, who had never lost an opportunity to try to betray the president. He did end up voting for Judge Kavanaugh. I will give him that. But generally, Senator Jeff Flake was a complete and total disappointment from the great state of Arizona, of which where we are broadcasting this podcast to you right now. And I think it's very important to also realize that Mitt Romney might betray the president. So this might go to 50 votes quicker than most realize. So as you look at the threats that the Democrats are putting towards the president, it is nothing more than a metaphorical hostage situation of how the Democrats are treating this judge justice confirmation fight. Chuck Schumer, as he did a press conference with Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, that's right, Chuck Schumer is now teaming up with Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, probably because he's afraid to be primaried by her at a future date, basically said that nothing would be off the table. In fact, he even talked about packing the Supreme Court. Play tape.
And these are procedures that are and decisions that are largely up to House Democratic leadership. But I believe that also we must consider, again, all of the tools available to our disposal, and that all of these options should be entertained and on the table.
Nancy Pelosi, when she was on with George Stephanopoulos, we played this tape on a previous episode of the Charlie Kirk Show, she said she would not dismiss the idea of President Trump going through another impeachment. In fact, Nancy Pelosi said that President Trump can be impeached for anything, at any time, for any reason. Play tape.
Some have mentioned the possibility, if they try to push through a nominee in a lame duck session, that you and the House could move to impeach President Trump or Attorney General Barr as a way of stalling and preventing the Senate from acting on this nomination.
Well, we have our options. We have arrows in our quiver that I'm not about to discuss right now.
So the Democrats are now basically acting like infants. They're embracing their inner Jean-Jacques Rousseau, who always said he would value the infant over the adult or the primitive over the civilized, where if they do not get their way, they are saying they will blow up precedent. They will make changes to the American landscape. They will pack the courts and impeach the president. For this reason, this is one of the best reasons as to why President Trump should fill this seat. You cannot reward this behavior. You see, if the Democrats were saying, you know what, you have a right to fill this seat, we don't think it's a good thing to have a 4-4 split on the United States Supreme Court heading into a likely contested presidential election. Therefore, we are of the opinion that if you try to fill the seat with a conservative, we will block it, but we're not going to pack the courts. We're not going to impeach the president. You guys do what you need to do. Instead, the Democrats are going complete and total scorched earth. Instead, the Democrats are of the opinion that if you dare not do what we tell you to do, we are going to metaphorically start shooting prisoners, to use the hostage situation. We are going to start blowing things up. In fact, many Democrats have said that they are going to do more riots, bigger riots, and more violent riots. So Newt Gingrich said, quote, "If President Trump nominates Amy Coney Barrett, Notre Dame law professor and appeals court judge, mother of seven, two of which were adopted from Haiti, clerk for Scalia and devout Catholic, it will pose a unique challenge for Kamala Harris, the most anti-Catholic bigot nominated in over a century," tweeted Gingrich. Quote, "Are Democrats prepared to say a devout Catholic is by definition unfit to serve on the Supreme Court?" Newt Gingrich continued. Quote, "If no pro-life justice is acceptable, then no faithful Catholic, evangelical, or Orthodox Jew can be considered. Are Democrats really prepared to alienate that many Americans?" So what was the basis for Newt Gingrich saying this? Well, it's based in when Kamala Harris said that Brian Boucher, upon his confirmation to the federal bench, said, quote, Were you aware that the Knights of Columbus opposed a woman's right to choose when you joined the organization? End quote. That's right. Kamala Harris cares more about whether or not an organization has a stance on the termination of innocent life than whether or not an organization is actually helping the poor. The Catholic Church is the largest religious body in the United States. There are some 51 million people who self-describe themselves as Catholic. This will not play well in Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Florida or Arizona, or even Minnesota, states that have sizable Catholic populations. And of course, a senator asking a judicial nominee to pass a religious litmus test is blatantly unconstitutional. And for this reason, if the president nominates either Amy Coney Barrett or Barbara Lagoa, both of which are Catholics, and both of which will be assailed and attacked by Senate Democrats for their deeply held religious beliefs. The United States Constitution clearly states, quote, no religious test shall ever be required as a qualification to any office or public trust under the United States. So as these are still rumors and they are bumbling up, it is important to recognize and realize, as the president now has his two finalists, both of which will assuredly be character assassinated by the Democrats. The Democrats are saying they are going to blow up the process and the procedure of how we nominate judges and justices. They say they will scream in the streets. They will block the halls. They will pack the courts and impeach the president. For that reason, we should proceed accordingly and confirm the justice. You do not reward this quasi-metaphorical terroristic behavior by the Senate Democrats. You don't. When they say they are going to engage in violence, court packing, and impeachment, that is a reason to show them, go ahead. We do not respond to your threats. We are not going to be held hostage by your extortion. It is a dark day in America when a party does not get what they want. They will resort to physical violence. The changing of the 9-member Supreme Court to go back to FDR court stuffing, and also impeaching the president. We'll keep a close eye on this, but whether it's Amy Coney Barrett or Barbara Lagoa, it's going to be a fight unlike any of us have ever seen before. Are you sick and tired of overpaying for basic services, home internet, cable utilities, and then, of course, there's your cell phone bill? Who's your wireless provider, AT&T, Verizon, or T-Mobile? What have I told you? PureTalk USA uses the exact same network as one of those carriers, same tower, same exact coverage, but literally costs you half. I know it sounds crazy. When I first heard about PureTalk, I thought, this is too good to be true. It's totally incredible. It was so easy. I kept my phone and they sent me a new SIM card, and now I'm getting the same great service I had before, but for half the price. Listen to this. Unlimited talk, text, and 2 gigs of data is just $20 a month. The average person is saving $400 a year. What could you do with $400? It's amazing. $400 a year. So why is it so much cheaper than all the big box ones, AT&T, Verizon, and T-Mobile? No retail stores, no billion-dollar year ad campaigns, no value adds to your contract that you end up paying for. Their customer service is right here in the United States. Their CEO is a U.S. veteran who understands what it means to serve this country. So here's the deal. Grab your mobile phone, dial #250 and say keyword Charlie Kirk, and you'll save $250 off any iPhone, including the new iPhone SE. That's #250 and say keyword Charlie Kirk. PureTalk USA, simply smarter wireless. So I want to single out Betsy DeVos, Secretary of Education. She did an incredible thing the other day. So as you know, there is a pattern of almost an apology tour for Democrats, university presidents, and members of the media to continue to say that America is a racist country, that our institutions are racist, and basically indulging in critical race theory. We have talked about critical race theory at length here on the Charlie Kirk Show, and critical race theory is rooted in the idea that melanin is your master. There's no such thing as individuals, that racism is everywhere. It is a pseudo-Marxist organization, and that group identity matters. And finally, if you do not agree with the critical race theorists, if you do not agree with the demands of BLM Incorporated, you are an awful person and we will punish you. And so there's an incredible story that Secretary Betsy DeVos deserves a lot of credit for. And then activist media has completely abdicated its role to inform the American people as to what's happening. It involves Princeton, allegedly the greatest school on the planet. So using the left's logic against them and doing it skillfully is one of the most satisfying things to watch unfold. For example, the Democrats say they want reparations. Then go ahead, Democrat Party. Go pay the reparations for being the slave-owning KKK, 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendment-opposing, civil rights filibustering party that we all know you are. Go pay those reparations. You say you want gun control? Then disarm the guards around you. You say that you're worried that fossil fuel emissions are going to ruin our planet? Then stop flying on private jets. You say that private schools and educational choice is a problem? Then send your kid to the LA Unified School District. So using the left's own standards against them is important, it is brilliant, and also I just get a lot of pleasure in watching it. So Betsy DeVos, she really played a master stroke against Princeton the other day, and all of higher education. This is from the Washington Examiner. Quote, the Department of Education has informed Princeton University that it is under investigation following the school's president's declaration that racism was embedded in the institution. President Christopher L. Eisgruber published an open letter earlier this month claiming that, quote, racism and the damage it does to the people of color persist at Princeton, and that, quote, racist assumptions are, quote, embedded in the structures of the university itself. So to play this out, Princeton is saying to its own admission, they're saying they're guilty, that the president of a 274-year-old prestigious Ivy League institution, President Eisgruber, has drawn into question the legality of the tens of millions of dollars of federal funds of Title VI of the Civil Rights Act of 1964. How's that possible? Well, if President Eisgruber is telling the truth and he is truly admitting guilt and fault, then, and if Princeton is truly a racist institution to its core and continues to be, then they are in violation of federal law. That act states clearly that, quote, no person in the United States shall, on the ground of race, color, or national origin, be excluded from participation in and be denied the benefits of or be subjected to discrimination under any program or activity receiving federal financial assistance. So Betsy DeVos may be trolling here, but I actually think that this is a master stroke of brilliance. So now Princeton, which indulges itself publicly and privately in the white guilt liberal institution behavioral pattern, they now have to pay a real price for stoking a race war in this country and for pushing tribal identity politics down the throats of American students. If they truly are racist, they should lose their federal funds and they should go to jail for violating Section 6 of the Civil Rights Act. Perhaps they then have to repay the tens of millions of dollars back to the American taxpayer to help fund the 1776 Commission, which we'll get to in just a second. Now, we all know that they have the money. They have billions of dollars in their endowment. As of 2019, $26.1 billion in the Princeton University endowment. Despite this, they still charge full tuition to their students, anywhere between $70,000 to $75,000 a year. Students continually go into debt to try to go to Princeton. That doesn't count room and board and travel and other costs. So now Princeton has said they're systemically racist. If they're truly systemically racist, why do black people continue to go to Princeton if it's such an awful place? America is not systemically racist, and these institutions are not systemically racist. But Princeton should be investigated if they truly are, and they should have to repay the money that they've been paid by taxpayers, and they should have to spend down their endowment. I'll tell you a country that is systemically something. Iran. Iran is systemically anti-Semitic. Do you see Jews from France leaving France to Iran? Of course not. They leave France to Canada, the United States, and Israel. People of a certain ethnic or religious group or cultural identity will not go to a place that is systemically awful. That's why Christians don't go out of their way to go to Iran or China or North Korea. And that is why over 2 million people have legally immigrated to the United States from Africa in the last 30 years and 1 million people from the Caribbean, all being of black skin color. Do you know that the average Nigerian American earns more income per capita per family than the average American? $52,000 a year, where the average American earns $50,000 a year. If America was systemically racist and if white privilege existed, why do Nigerian Americans do so well in our country? And even the left-wing publication, Ozzy, says the most successful ethnic group in the United States may surprise you, Nigerian Americans. According to Kansas University, who they themselves say that systemic racism exists, says, quote, study shows African immigrants in the United States do well despite differences among them. This is the 23rd of June, 2020, just a couple weeks after the quote-unquote racial reckoning in our country, that says, again, despite the idea of systemic racism, despite the idea of us being rotten to the core, despite the idea that black people cannot succeed, even Kansas University, the University of Kansas, KU.edu, had said that, quote, studies show that African Americans in the United States do well. All of this should be very obvious intellectual ammunition for you to be able to refute and debunk the idea that America is a systemically racist country from within, that we're rotten to the core. If we were systemically awful, then no black people would want to come to America, just like how no Jewish people or Christian people want to go to Iran. I want one leftist to please email us at freedom@charliekirk.com and explain to me that if you believe America is systemically awful and the institutions were built for white people, why is it that Nigerian immigrants do so much better on average than just average Americans do? And that includes white Americans as well. It's because the idea of white privilege is a preposterous idea. It's a dangerous idea. It's a malevolent idea. It's an insidious idea. I could continue on with the adjectives. But white privilege is rooted in this idea of judging people based on their immutable, God-given characteristics. It's based on judging people on things they cannot control. The United States Constitution was not written to favor one ethnic group, despite what your professor or teacher might say. This is why Asian Americans are the richest per group, immigrant, ethnic, or cultural group, or racial group in the United States. According to finance.yahoo.com, it says the U.S. could actually use more Nigerian immigrants, according to Bloomberg. So Bloomberg, the same website that will continue to propagandize the American people that we are so systemically racist, that we are awful, actually says we need more Nigerian immigrants. So if Bloomberg believes we are systemically racist, of which they write about quite often, and they're saying we want more Nigerian immigrants, there's only two ways to interpret this. Number one, Bloomberg hates Nigerian immigrants. Bloomberg wants Nigerian immigrants to come to a place where they will be discriminated against and hated. Or number two, Bloomberg doesn't actually believe that we are systemically racist, that they are repeating this Robin DiAngelo, Nicole Hannah Jones, white fragility, 1619 Project propaganda narrative that people of color cannot succeed in this country. We know this is demonstrably untrue. We know this through empirical data. We know this through experience. And we know this through a thing that we have lost in our country called common sense. But if you just look at the landscape of our country, the same sort of narrative that Princeton University says that we are rotten to the core, that we are the worst that could possibly exist, you need to challenge people when they say that. That's what Betsy DeVos is doing here so brilliantly. She says, oh, really? You're so racist? Then pay back the money. Oh, no, we're actually not that racist. That's what I thought. Then stop saying it. and stop teaching your kids that we're a racist country, because we're the opposite. We're the most unracist, decent, benevolent, accepting country ever to exist in the history of the world. Getting in shape doesn't have to be about losing a specific amount of weight or a magic number on the scale. It's about building healthier habits and feeling a little bit better about yourself. So look, you guys all know that there's physical, psychological, and social reasons to get into shape. Physical, of course, being better self-care and feeling confident. Psychological is the ability to make healthy choices, and social. And that's why I love it. You can integrate Noom into your life and you trust yourself to make good choices. There are specific lessons you learned about psychology or your habits. It's the ease of just 10 minutes a day, the tone of a program, or anything you loved. So Noom is the habit-changing solution that helps users learn to develop a new relationship with food through personalized courses. It's based in psychology. Noom teaches you why you do the things you do and empowers you with the tools you need to break bad habits and replace them with better ones. Noom is not a diet. It's healthy and easy to stick to way of life. You're human. If you go off track, there's no shaming. Just tips to help you get back on track tomorrow. So you don't have to change it all in one day. Small steps make big progress. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com/Charlie. Noom.com/Charlie. What do you have to lose? Visit Noom.com/Charlie to start your trial today. Noom.com/Charlie. Noom.com/Charlie. So I was watching the Joe Biden town hall when he was talking to his pseudo press secretary, Anderson Cooper, in front of all these cars. And Joe Biden claimed something, and I saw it and I had to re-listen to it at least 10 times. Because the way he said it and what he said was such an incredibly, not just foolish, but dangerous thing for a person to say. Joe Biden claimed that President Trump could have saved every single person from dying from the Chinese coronavirus. Play tape.
If the president had done his job, from the beginning, all the people would still be alive. All the people, I'm not making this up, just look at the data. Look at the data.
Again, he said, I'm not making this up, just look at the data. Okay, let's just call this what this is. This is a grotesque lie and a disturbing statement for anyone to make. And Anderson Cooper is just standing there. So first of all, tell it to Italy, the UK, Spain, or Denmark, all of which have higher cases of fatality than the United States. And Joe Biden, I have a couple series of questions here because I am growing very weary, tired, and impatient for you to continue to lie uninterrupted to the American people. I've watched your advertisements. I see your talking points. I am growing more and more convinced you are not an honest person. In fact, you just want political power, maybe to save your son from a coming indictment for selling us out to the Chinese or sitting on some sort of foreign board, maybe to try to save your political career for being the most corrupt vice president in American history. But for engaging or indulging in this form of political partisanship, saying that every person's life would have been saved if you would have been vice president, is disgusting. So here's how President Trump needs to respond to this in the upcoming debate. President Trump needs to say the following. Joe Biden, you're a murderer. Joe Biden, Americans died from H1N1 when you were vice president. You have blood on your hands. Doesn't feel good, right, to be blamed for a virus when you were president. Over 50,000 people died a year from the seasonal flu. What did you do about that, Joe Biden? It doesn't feel good to be blamed for an epidemiological disaster. See how unfair that is, Joe Biden? See how it is where I can then say, in your 8 years as vice president, over 300,000 people died from the flu, 30,000 people died from the swine flu, H1N1. And what did you do about that, Joe Biden? Because when things broke out, I shut down travel to Europe and I shut down travel to China. I went to go look to see if we had personal protection equipment, and the cupboards were bare because you and your partner in malfeasance and political partisanship, Barack Obama, decided not to replenish the stockpile. So I was left flat-footed to have to replace and replenish the stockpile. I closed China off from Europe and China, where you called me xenophobic for that very reason. And then I had to restore our ventilator supply. I had to try to track down a virus that I did not ask for, that was released by your financiers, the Chinese Communist Party. It's your friends that did this, Joe Biden. So the more that you continue to gallivant around cable TV and blame me for a virus, I'm going to do the same to you. Because people died under your watch as well, Joe Biden. And maybe you can finally start to feel some of the pain as to how unfair it is. And Anderson Cooper just let him say that. That if Joe Biden was president, all these people would still be alive. So Joe Biden, please answer the question what you would have done differently. Because you criticized the travel ban. Trump blocked travel from China on January 31st. Joe Biden quickly attacked the move for what he called Trump's, quote, record of hysteria, xenophobia, and fear-mongering. In March, Bolshevik Bernie Sanders insisted at the Fox News town hall he wouldn't even consider closing the U.S. border to prevent the spread of the Chinese coronavirus. He also called the closure the president's xenophobia. Trump blocked travel from Europe in early March when we had 38 confirmed deaths. That's right, 38 confirmed deaths and 1,100 confirmed cases. This is from a BBC article dated March 12th that states, quote, the European Union condemned the measure, which it said were taken, quote, unilaterally and without consultation. So now all the critics of Trump's ban say that he wasn't firm enough and didn't do enough. Now the critics of Trump's ban are now saying every single person would be alive. Joe Biden, I'm going to chalk this up to your declining mental state and your dementia. But you should apologize and retreat by saying every single person would be alive. In fact, if President Trump really wants to come back at it, we should go find a couple hundred families that died from the swine flu and say, Joe Biden killed my mother. Joe Biden killed my sister. You want to play brass knuckle politics, Joe Biden? You have no idea what you're dealing with here. When running a business, HR issues can kill you. Wrongful termination suits, minimum wage requirements, labor regulations, and more. And HR manager salaries are never cheap. They're an average of $70,000 a year. Bambi, spelled B-A-M-B-E-E, was created specifically for small business. You can get a dedicated HR manager, craft HR policy, maintain your compliance, all for just $99 a month. With Bambi, you can change HR from your biggest liability to your biggest strength. Your dedicated HR manager is available by phone, email, or real-time chat. From onboarding to terminations, they customize your policies to fit your business and help you manage your employees day-to-day, all for just $99 a month. Month to month, there are no hidden fees. You can cancel anytime. You didn't start your business because you wanted to spend time in HR compliance. Let Bambi help. Get your free HR audit today. Go to Bambi.com/Kirk right now to schedule your free HR audit. That's Bambi.com/Kirk. Spelled BAM to the BEE.com/Kirk. Pennsylvania Health Secretary Rachel Levine ordered Pennsylvania nursing homes to accept the Chinese Wuhan patients, but removed his own mother from a nursing home to keep her safe. This killed thousands of elderly Americans. Joe Biden's friends did this. Same with Cuomo. Cuomo, who calls it the European virus because the Chinese Communist Party is the primary financing mechanism of the Joe Biden family industry and the Democrat Party. But speaking of Cuomo, if you want to search for real guilt, then let's look at New York's Andrew Cuomo and Michigan's Gretchen Whitmer, who both forced nursing homes to accept patients with the Chinese coronavirus. That's real blood on their hands, Mr. Vice President. And let's listen to Dr. Fauci on February 29th, who said, quote, no need to change what you're doing. The risk is low. Play tape.
Dr. Fauci, coronavirus, of course, has been in the news so much. People are worried. Should they be worried? Are they worried unnecessarily? And what should they be doing?
No, I don't think people should be frightened. I mean, the risk right now, today, currently, is really relatively low for the American public.
And while the United States government was gearing up for this pandemic, the New York Times was already pushing Trump is awful Chinese Communist Party propaganda. On February 5th, the New York Times ran the following headline, quote, who says it's not safe to travel to China? The Chinese coronavirus travel ban is unjust and doesn't work anyway. The Washington Post, who I am all very familiar with, they even fact-checked Biden. Thank you, Washington Post. They said, quote, Joe Biden's CNN town hall, an occasional whopper. They fact-checked him by saying, quote, if the president had done his job from the very beginning, all the people would still be alive. We just went over that. This is the Washington Post. Quote, actually, Biden is making this up, There's no data to support this. Even if the president had more rapidly in January to deal with the Chinese coronavirus and been able to persuade the Chinese leadership to be forthcoming about the situation, even nations that had been praised for their handling of the pandemic, they suffered some deaths. Thank you, Washington Post, for admitting that the laws of gravity are still in place in our universe. Thank you. It is one of the most obvious fact checks I think we've ever seen, that every single person would still be alive. In the United States, with 50 states run by governors, policies have varied greatly. And Trump has been faulted for not articulating a national plan. He would have had trouble persuading every governor to follow the exact same path. So they have to, of course, add in the Trump hatred at the end. But when the Washington Post is dinging Joe Biden, we now know his true colors. What's the takeaway here? Stop calling Joe Biden a good person. Stop saying Joe Biden is running an ethical campaign. I want to bring America together. No, you don't. You want power. Joe Biden, you're immoral. Joe Biden, you shouldn't get anywhere near power. And I am done acting as if you're some sort of admirable sympathy campaign that we have to wait for visiting angels to go scoop you up and give you your next meal. Joe Biden, you're a disgrace. I rarely say that someone is a bad person. But for you to engage in something as so blatantly and materially untrue that every single person would still be alive, you deserve to be nowhere near the presidency or a proximity of power. You are the worst of America's ruling class. Everybody, vote accordingly. Thank you guys so much for listening. Please listen to our sister episode with Lou Dobbs. And if you guys want to win a signed copy of The MAGA Doctrine, type in Charlie Kirk Show to your podcast provider. Hit subscribe. Give us a 5-star review. Screenshot and email us, freedom@charliekirk.com. freedom@charliekirk.com. If you guys want to get involved with Turning Point USA, our 501c3 educational organization fighting America's culture war with a sense of urgency to save America, tpusa.com. Every young person listening to this, you should start a chapter right now. You should get engaged, tpusa.com. And please consider supporting us at charliekirk.com/support. charliekirk.com/support. Chip in $50, $100, whatever you can to keep this show going strong. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. We got more analysis coming all week. Thanks so much. God bless.